Good to be back on. So today I want to talk about just the ways the market since I've started trading have changed over, it's been about 20 years now. And I don't know how many times I've had big changes or big reinventions to go through, but it's just a fact of, I think if you're in a startup or any business, it's pretty much anything. It's going to be, even relationships with people are similar too, where you're there's a lot of growth going on and you have to change or it's not going to work. Somebody has to, nobody's going to stay still. And I think with trading, since there's money involved too, it moves so fast. People are always trying to jump over each other and figure out how is that market going to go from A to B. It's still going to go to A, from A to B fundamentally based on earnings and interest rates and things like that, like it always does. But the way that it moves from A to B changes drastically over the years. So when I first started back in early 2000s, it was me going home and using this program called Camtasia to record my screen. And I was recording TT Trading Technology order books. And I was watching just how does every up move look? How does every down move look? When we retrace and then we continue to go up on a busy day, when there's a large move up, how does it look? How does it look at the bottom when it pivots and turns? Do the orders come in? Are someone faking like they're going to sell, but they really want to buy? Can I see that? Can I replicate that over and over again and watching those patterns? How does it look after unemployment? How does it look after the Fed meeting? Can I figure out what people are doing? Can I learn to, it's like reps in jiu-jitsu, reps in basketball, reps in music or piano. It's the same thing. It's reps in a skill set, learning something. And then, so then I figured that out and I made money on that. And I got good at figuring out, you know, when things were not looking the right way and when they were. And then fast forward, a few years go by and, you know, it works. And then it starts to work less. And then it works a little bit and it works less and less. And all of a sudden it's working a very small percentage of the time. And then I noticed that certain times it works when it's busy, because it seems like the machines that are now coming into the market at this time are kind of doing something different, where we go from A to B, but I can't quite do it the same way I used to. So then you go through, like, maybe you're struggling a little bit and you have to figure out what the hell to do about it. And sometimes if you're around other people or you know people who trade, you can talk and communicate. Other times you're just kind of stuck for a while and it can be hard. And then and a good thing here is like your risk management, like how hard are you forcing and losing money versus just kind of trading smaller and hanging around and dealing with your wounded ego and the feelings of whatever come up because you're not doing as well as you used to do and whatever that means for you. And that's all part of growth, I think, to handle that better. And then, so then back to my timeline. So then we get into like the financial crisis in 2008, 2007. And Brent, who I talk with a lot, we've done some other podcasts together. And we're actually going to do one again soon. So I think it's on a different channel. So I'll tell you about that if we do it. But you can Google search the same thing and Google search my name or his name and it'll come up. Anyways, back to the story. So 2007, 2008 happened and he's doing a lot of spreading, looking at the Euro stocks versus the S&P futures. So Europe and the US, and he's noticing that when he's holding a long or short position in one versus the other, so a spread, so buying Europe and selling the US, for example. And he's doing a lot of that to feel the market. And you can notice that weird changes in the market were hard to figure out when you owned one product, but when you owned both of the products, you could actually feel the order flow and you could figure out when to drop one side and just ride the market up or down. So I started doing that because he was having success with it. And then I started using that to get me into big moves just as a tool. And then that worked great. And that led me into some really good trading into 2008 when I kind of stopped doing that. But then it was the financial crisis. So it was like, it was just really busy every day. So that was, to this day, that's still been my best year, actually, 2008, because it was so busy. The moves were so big. It was like COVID times six, you know, because it lasted that much longer. excuse me, getting over a cold here. So that happened in 2008. And then back to my reading order books and all that stuff. So I'm doing some of that in 2008, but the skill set in 2008 became, I've been very curious and always looking into different things. And I'm reading a lot of different publications. I'm subscribing to like big picture investment stuff. I'm looking at short-term stuff. And it all kind of helps me, even though I was trading short-term, it all kind of helped me having that context. So getting in front of like which banks were going to fail and listening to the earnings calls of the banks and watching the order books of the banks were big edges to make a lot more money and to get in front of what mattered. Those were the catalysts that were driving the market. And then that finally passes. And then in 2009, you're kind of trying to trade on the 08 playbook and you're struggling because it's not working the same. The market starts to recover, but there's so much fear. And this went on for even a couple of years where no one thought the recovery was real. Everyone thought it was bullshit because of Muhammad El Arian and Bill Gross, like the big guys. They were like the Ray Dalio and Jeffrey Gundlach of the era, were always on TV telling you it's the new normal where everything's slow and it's going to grow low. And then it grow, you know, just slow growth. And in the meantime, the market was just quietly marching up. And then, you know, it just kind of walk on this years and years of this. And eventually in 2012, 2013, people are like, oh crap, I think we made a bottom. You know what I mean? And it went by kind of slowly. In those years, excuse me, in those years, were much more narrow than 08, 09. So it was different strategies again. It was a little tougher, if I remember, but the machines didn't really come in hard and heavy yet like they were. I think that really started in like 2015, 2016, if I remember right, the algo stuff. And I'm sure it was happening back then, but it didn't feel as different as it started to feel after that. So that time there was pockets of the old way and the new way. And you're kind of, a lot of people were struggling that I was working around and having just like good months and then like a tough 5 months and then a good month. And it was like that. And then we started getting the hacks and the fake news on Twitter, things like that popping up 2014, 2015. And then eventually people got used to that stuff and started to distrust a lot of the things that broke the news that came. And then we moved into 2016 in Europe, 2015, 2016, and started to get more computerized. And you had a lot of, you had a European financial crisis in there in 2016. I believe it was 2011, I'm sorry. 2016 was, I think it was the Trump stuff, all the uncertainty around the political landscape. So that created a lot of volatility. And then eventually, you know, he had a lot of comments that moved the market. So that was a different environment. And then I believe that was 2016. Yeah. And then anyways, 2017, we got into the crypto stuff where that was brewing in 2016. And that became a really big area to trade. So that was another area for me where I would kind of get involved. And I tried something very different. I was in those markets. I didn't know anything about them. So I got a hardware wallet. I started, you know, trading and moving funds from one crypto account to the other. I was doing some arbitrage. I couldn't do it big scale because there was limits on how much money I could move, but I did pretty well with that. And I traded that using a lot of my old skills that were just dusted off from years before that weren't really being used in the stock market for the last few years. They were phenomenally valuable, made me a lot of money in crypto. So it's almost like everything you learn always is there for you. It just doesn't work right now, but it works eventually. It comes back. So I use those skills and divergences, you know, Bitcoin's going up, but, you know, Ethereum and Litecoin are going up more. Bitcoin starts going down. Ethereum and Litecoin can't go down at all. And they just explode when Bitcoin goes sideways, stuff like that. Just basic stuff. Worked well though, because it wasn't very competitive. And of course now crypto is more competitive and that stuff doesn't work as well anymore. So that was that. And then, okay, so let's go forward to then most of us are familiar with the COVID stuff that happened. And it was really good old school trading for a couple months. And then it kind of got back to what we're used to now. So now these machines have come into the market 2015, 2016 and beyond. And so the problem I had is the market went from A to B and I could figure it out. But I couldn't figure out how to get in. I'm like, I can't feel how to get in as well. I keep getting stopped out, even though I end up being right about the moves. Very frustrating. And so I had to figure out, like, how can I trade maybe smaller with bigger stops? So I played with that for a while. And then I started to focus more on news and event days because that's where I did better. And I started to have a lot better success when I just traded a lot less and traded more often on the news and event days. So then kind of moving forward to where we are now, we're on another change because now you have GPT and everyone's programming and doing things and you have, you know, the potential, which we're going to see when, you know, we had humans for years, portfolio managers making algos and making it harder to figure out how they're getting in and out of the market, dark pools and things that have been going on for a while. But there's something probably coming where there's now an artificial intelligence figuring out how to better move the market from A to B that people aren't really thinking about it as much as the machine is telling them a way to do it or try to have a way to do it. And this very well may have been going on in the financial markets for a long time, and the AI stuff may be more consumer facing right now. So everyone's talking about it, but it's been in the system for a while. I'm sure that's the case. So I don't know how much of an impact it'll have on the market. But my bigger point of saying all this, I'm still getting to my bigger point. My bigger point though is just to kind of walk through all the changes that have happened and how you've needed to be curious and willing to learn and try different things, because what you'd once did that worked well might just stop working. And it's not personal. It's just the nature of change. And in the market, you see that a lot. And it changes fast and it changes aggressively. And the cycles keep getting shorter. So now it's, okay, so what do I do now? And I've been using a lot of the artificial intelligence tools to test thought experiments and ideas and program things that I've thought about in the past, or things that I wonder what this looks like. I wonder what that looks like. And I'm looking at futures and stocks, and I'm looking at everything, you know, gold, cryptos, and just trying things out, testing things. And sometimes you're surprised by what you find. And I couldn't even do that before. So I can do that now. So I can use my experience and my mind to test things that I couldn't test. So that's a way that I'm evolving and adapting. And I found that when things get more structured instead of discretionary, then it's almost like a mixture of, there's the discretionary Brad who trades, and then there's the guy who is the general of the system who now is running something more structured. And it's easier to actually move your size up when you're structured, because the losses are less personal. They're just built into the system. And then your job is to not think as much during the day and think more when the market's closed, and keep retooling and adapting what you're doing. So I'm still trading discretionary, but I'm also doing that stuff. So it's like there's a second thing going on here for me. So there's two things going on, not just one. And I hope in the future I'll be evolving more towards this structured trading with rules and system-based, with my discretionary flair. And then, of course, on Fed days or when it's busy, I'll just be trading myself, because that's better for me to do. But that's the market we're moving into, and that's the way that I'm adapting. And this was not the case, you know, a while back. It might have been if I had these tools, but I didn't have these tools. So, and whenever what I was doing was working back then, I guess it didn't really matter. But it's just always thinking that way, always moving forward. I spent a lot of time, probably a couple of years or more than that, just kind of watching the paint dry at my screen, waiting for the times where I saw opportunity. And meanwhile, I'm sitting here with, you know, a healthy mind and body, and I'm wanting to work, and I'm thinking, there's a better use of my time than sitting here waiting all day for things. And it's almost inhuman to be that patient, to wait. And so having these projects and having things going on is exciting. And then you're kind of waiting by accident, and then your trade shows up and you can do it because you're not screwing around doing something stupid. So that's, I've given the story in the past about how Brent and I used to watch Deadwood on HBO during a slow month, and then we had a good month and everyone else just traded the garbage range and didn't do very well. So we always laugh about that. But sometimes the best thing to do is nothing, is to wait. And it's often hard to do without being productively distracted. So that's what I feel like I'm doing now, and that feels really good. So just kind of sharing what I'm doing. And it's a good way to move, I think, because it makes me feel good and it's exciting. So I know that that's a good thing. Whenever I've been curious and excited before, something good usually happens. So that's the direction for now. And I think a lot of things are going to be changing the next few years. So we're going to see how that's going to play. And there's more people in the market than ever. So I think that's good for all of us to have a lot of people doing different things. And the game goes on. So how can we handle it? How can we adapt to it? And that's the fun of it. So I'm going to hopefully come back on here a little more frequently, and Brent and I are going to come on again and talk about some stuff, but that's it for today.